first light. Good morning and welcome to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva. It's Monday, it's the 2nd of April 2018 and it's just gone 11 o'clock and it is a bank holiday and I'm here broadcasting live to you lovely people this morning on Channel Radio. So you can listen online at channelradio.co.uk/2 or and for the first time actually, I'm actually broadcasting the show on Facebook Live. So for those of you that are watching me on Facebook Live, hi everyone, hope you're all well and anything could happen this morning because it's the first time I've done it. If you'd like to watch me live, and why would you, but there you go, if you'd like to watch me live, then if you go to Facebook and go to the Health Matters Radio Show Facebook page, so facebook.com/healthradioshow, and you can watch me in all my splendor. Again, why would you? But there you go. I'm sure you've got better things to do on your bank holiday Monday. So on today's show, we have some interesting subjects to talk about. We're going to start the show talking about the symptoms of undiagnosed type 2 diabetes. So for those of you that know me, know it's a specialist field of mine, helping people to manage type 2 diabetes. And we're going to go through some reasons why it's important to pick up these symptoms if you can recognize them either in yourself or in someone that you know. We're also going to talk about the hidden sources of sugar in our food, and obviously there's a link there to diabetes. And we're going to talk about the hidden sources of weight gain, or potentially the reasons why people don't lose weight quite as quickly as they would hope to. And that's towards the end of the show. We've also got a quick Q&A. I've had a couple of questions come in from listeners in the last week or so. So I'm going to go through those as well for 5 minutes. And we have music from 1986. So it's a full-packed show. And the next hour, I'm sure, is going to fly by. And I have with me today my glamorous assistant. My youngest daughter, Melissa, has joined me today. Hi, Mel. Say hello.
Hi.
Melissa has come in because it's obviously bank holiday and she wanted to see what I did on a Monday morning. So if you see random fingers going across the screen on Facebook Live, that will be Melissa. So there you go. Okay. So if you'd like to tweet into the show, if you'd like a shout out, if you have an event you'd like me to mention, if you'd just like to say hello, then go to Twitter and the show's Twitter feed is at Health Radio Show. That's at Health Radio Show with the hashtag Health Matters Radio Show. Or you can find the show's Facebook page, as I mentioned. If you search Health Matters Radio Show on Facebook, then you can find the Facebook page and you can watch me on Facebook Live if that's what you want to do. And as usual, if you'd like to contact me off air and you'd like to have a more private conversation, you can contact me via my website, which is www.i-nutrition.co.uk. And for those of you that are watching live, you obviously see the way the show is put together and you will see me grab the odd cheeky drink now and again because my mouth does get quite dry. An hour is a long time to be talking. So if you see me grabbing a drink, please forgive me. Okay, so a bit of housekeeping before we go on with the show. The purpose of the Health Matters Radio Show is to provide competent information on the subject matters covered and to help educate, inform, and enlighten you in ways that you might be able to improve your own health. However, this is on the understanding that I am not engaged in providing medical advice, and the content in the show should not be treated as a substitute for medical advice. If you have any concerns about your general health or you require medical or other expert assistance, you should speak to a suitably qualified healthcare professional, which in many cases can be obtained by dialing 111 or speaking with your local pharmacist. Your doctor does not necessarily need to be your first port of contact. All content is provided for general information only and is based on my knowledge, my experience and my opinion, and I disclaim any liability that is incurred from the use of or application of the content of the show. So, that's all the small print out of the way. On to the first subject. So, we are going to talk for the next 10 minutes or so about type 2 diabetes. Now, it's a growing epidemic. In 1996, there were 1.4 million, that's 1.4 million type 2 diabetics in this country. And in the space of, well, little more than 20 odd years, it's gone up to over 4 million, despite all the best efforts to curb that rise. One of the really scary things is that of all the people that have type 2 diabetes, only of that 4.3 million, I think it was at the last count, of that 4.3 million, only 3.7 million know they've got it and are dealing with it, either through lifestyle change and dietary change, which obviously I'm a big advocate of, or just taking medication. The point there is that there's 600,000 people with type 2 diabetes and they don't know they've got it, and this is really dangerous because type 2 diabetes does a huge amount of damage to the body while it runs riot and isn't being dealt with either by medication or by a lifestyle stroke diet intervention. So the purpose of this slot is just to make you realize that if you can spot some of these symptoms, and you know, you may see some of these symptoms and you may, you know, it doesn't mean you've got type 2 diabetes by any means, but you may be able to spot one or two of these perhaps together, and it might make you have a conversation with your doctor, and you might have a blood glucose test and you might be fine. And if that's the case, happy days. However, if you are one of the 600,000 and growing number of people that has undiagnosed type 2 diabetes, you might be able to catch it at an early stage before it does some serious damage. And I'm not going to go into detail about the damage that type 2 diabetes does, because that this slot isn't about that. But suffice to say, it does cause huge amounts of damage to the body systems. It causes damage to the heart. It causes damage to the eyes. It can lead to hardening of the arteries. It can lead to heart issues, heart attacks. It can lead to blindness. It can lead to nerve damage. And type 2 diabetes is, I think, the biggest cause of foot amputation in this country. So it's a pretty serious thing. If you've got it, deal with it. If you've got it but don't know you've got it, you need to find out, just to check to see if you have got it. So here are the symptoms of undiagnosed, or here are the symptoms of type 2 diabetes. But if you're not a diagnosed type 2 diabetic, you might be able to relate to some of these. And it's certainly something that you might want to have a conversation with your doctor about, because these symptoms of type 2 diabetes can go undiagnosed for up to 10 years. And in that 10 years, believe me, it can do a lot of damage. So I'll go through these one by one, and I'll go through them slowly just to let them sink in and help you to think about them. So symptoms of type 2 diabetes can include increased thirst, increased hunger, a dry mouth. Obviously, that's linked to thirst, because if you're thirsty, you've got a dry mouth. If you're going to the toilet a lot, this is another symptom as well. So increased urination in advanced stages of type 2 diabetes, because the body uses the kidneys as a bit of a fail safe. When it tries to, it will try to manage its blood sugar itself up to a point. And then when it can't manage blood sugars, if you like, internally, then it pulls the kidneys into play. And you start to basically pee glucose. And a consequence of peeing a lot is you're thirsty a lot. And that's quite a vicious cycle. Unexplained weight loss. If you're not on a diet, if you haven't cut calories intentionally and suddenly you start to lose weight, possibly a symptom of type 2 diabetes. Itching down below. Now, this is obviously a sensitive area, but if you have constant yeast infections, that can be a symptom of diabetes. And the reason that is because the high glucose levels in the blood and urine provide a perfect breeding ground for bacteria and for yeast. So if you get infections down there, then that can be a symptom too. If you're fatigued, if you're tired all the time for no good reason, if you get headaches, if you get blurred vision. Now, blurred vision is quite an interesting one because it can come and go, but it is something you need to tap into if it's happening to you. So if you get blurred vision or if you struggle to see things in fine detail, it could be just a case of getting older, and it happens to us all. But if it's happening on a regular basis, it might be worth having an eye check. Because obviously when you go to an optician's, when you're having eye checks done, then they do check for diabetes as well. If your healing is slow, if you're getting cuts and grazes and they're not healing quite as quickly as they used to, then that could be a symptom of type 2 diabetes. And if you get nausea and vomiting, then that could be a symptom as well, because these blood sugar fluctuations can disrupt the metabolism and it can cause dizziness as well. So other things to consider: if you've got a bad diet, if you've got a poor lifestyle, if you're quite sedentary, if you're overweight, if you have too many sugary drinks, if there's a family history of type 2 diabetes, those things, in addition to some of those symptoms that I've been through, can lead to a diagnosis of type 2 diabetes. So if you can identify with any of those, please do get it checked out, because type 2 diabetes does come on quite slowly, unlike type 1, which comes on quite quickly. Type 2 does come on quite slowly, and it can take up to 10 years for it to be actually diagnosed. And generally speaking, what will happen is people that have undiagnosed type 2, that it will get picked up either when they get the symptoms or in a random blood test. You know, one of these well person checks perhaps that we have every 2 to 3 to 4 to 5 years. But in that time, as I mentioned, it can cause so much damage. It's definitely worth getting checked out. If you don't identify with any of those, happy days. If you do, please get it checked out. If you are, if your tests come back fine and you're not a diabetic, type 2 diabetic, then that's great. If you are a type 2 diabetic, then obviously you can choose how you deal with it, either through medication or, as I've mentioned, I'm a big advocate of lifestyle and dietary interventions. So hopefully that's interesting information for you. And if you've got any feedback for me on that subject, please do tweet me at Health Radio Show. And again, if you'd like to have a shout out or you'd like me to mention you or your business, tweet me and I will mention you on air. And I've got a few announcements to make after the next song. So as I mentioned, I'm taking you back today to 1986. I can't believe it's 32 years ago. But interestingly, it was a great year for music. And when I was choosing, going through the top 100 for that year, it was a really, really difficult choice to pick out 4 or 5 good songs, because they were all good in my opinion. But hey, I was a teenager then, and like I said, it was a great year for music. So the first song I'm going to take you back to 1986 with is The Bangles and Manic Monday.
Interested in collaborating with like-minded Kent businesses? Join our supplymybusiness.co.uk community today and start growing your Kent business network for just £20 a month.
Welcome back to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva. It's Monday, the 2nd of April. It's Bank Holiday Monday, and I'm in the studio live, hopefully educating you lovely people about ways to improve your own health. You can tweet into the show. If you go to the show's Twitter feed, which is at Health Radio Show, you can follow my tweets. You can tweet him for a shout out, as a few people have done this morning, which is great. And I'll read those out in a second. And you can go to the show's Facebook feed, the Facebook page. If you go to Facebook and search Health Matters Radio Show, you can actually view me live on Facebook Live for the very first time and possibly the very last time. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. But hopefully it will give you a bit of a feel for what goes on during the show. Rather than just listening to my dulcet tones, you can see me as well. And if you'd like to contact me personally, you can find me via my website, which is www.i-nutrition.co.uk. So before we go on to a quick Q&A, I have a few shout outs to announce on today's show. The first is from a great friend of mine, Stuart Weller. Stuart's a magician, and actually, whilst I wouldn't say it to his face, because I wouldn't want his head to get any bigger, he's actually very, very good at what he does. He's a fantastic magician, and he's a very good friend of mine as well. So Stuart's written in, "Hi Neil, it would be great to have a shout out today, please. Amazing and entertaining magic for all occasions, weddings, corporate events, private parties, an ideal icebreaker and talking point, and fun." So Stuart, as I mentioned, based in Ashford, but travels all around the place. Really great magician. If you'd like to get in contact with Stuart, his website is www.stuartweller.co.uk. His phone number is 07834 922 578. Another shout out for Anya Jeffries. Now, Anya came onto my show on the 19th of March. So Anya mentioned about the Women Work events that she's running. And the next event is on the 20th of April at the Salomon's Estate in Tunbridge Wells. It's a one-day event. There's 50 speakers and 48 talks. She's doing a special Easter discount valid until the end of today, literally at 11:59 p.m. It's £20 for the full day program. And if you go to Anya's website, which is www.womenworkevents.com, that's womenworkevents.com, you can book your ticket online and find out more about the event there. And if you'd like to find out more about the event as well, listen to the show, go back on iTunes or on my website, and you can listen to the show from the 19th of March, when Anya is talking more about the events and what's going to be going on during that day on the 20th of April. I had a tweet in from Emily at Pink Spaghetti. If you are watching me on Facebook Live, you'll see me scrabbling for my computer screen here. She's put, "Hi, Em, it's good to have your tweet in this morning." She's put, "Hi, Neil, hope you're well this morning. Would be great to have a shout out. I'm Emily and I run Pink Spaghetti PA Services in Maidstone and Sittingbourne. I help small businesses in Kent with their really annoying to-do lists. Hope you have a great show." So Emily's, so that's Emily from Pink Spaghetti, and her Twitter feed is at Pink Spag. So PINKSPAG underscore Emily. So at Pink Spag underscore Emily. If you have any of those annoying to-do lists, and we've all got them, I know, then contact Emily and I'm sure she'll be able to help you. Almost done. Dee from Swelling Matters. Dee is a lymphedema specialist, and her company name is Swelling Matters. And you can listen to Dee's interview from my show a few shows ago now. I think it was about a month ago. And Dee is kindly doing massage. She's offering massage services at the London Marathon this year. So well done to you, Dee. A very good cause, and I know you're excellent at what you do. Two more shout-outs. Terry Botfield. Terry's a good friend of mine. He runs a networking club down on Romney Marsh. And his next morning networking event is on the 4th of April, so a couple of days away now. The 4th of April at the Cinque Port Arms in New Romney. and that's from 10 o'clock in the morning, 10 till 12. I've been there, and I have to say it's actually a really good networking event. So if you'd like to contact Terry or book yourself online, please go to Terry's website, which is botfieldassociates.co.uk. And finally, for this slot, I host the Kent Chamber of Commerce After Hours Business Networking meeting in Ashford on the first Tuesday of each month. And as it's the first Tuesday of the month tomorrow, then you can come and join me at the Conningbrook from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. It's a free business networking event. I host it. We normally get 30 to 40 people there, and it will be great to see you there. So, got a couple of Q&As here. So, got a question coming from Mark in Maidstone, and he's written into me and he said, I've been told to load up on vitamin C to prevent colds. Obviously, it is the cold season. Is this true? Well, evidence shows that while vitamin C taken once you have a cold can shorten the duration of the cold and the severity of a cold, taking vitamin C as a preventative. Now, vitamin C has nutritional benefit. There are benefits to taking vitamin C. But if you're taking it purely as a preventative against getting colds, research has suggested that it doesn't work. It really doesn't work as a preventative measure. It only works if you've actually got a cold. So vitamin C is still good for you in other ways, including as an antioxidant, as well as helping iron absorption and wound healing. Ideally, take it in your food, so things like citrus fruit, sweet potatoes, broccoli, green and yellow vegetables, not necessarily as a supplement because they're not always bioavailable, but if you're deficient in fruits and veg, then obviously supplementation is fine. And another useful antioxidant, if you're taking it as an antioxidant, is an antioxidant called astaxanthin. Now, I spoke about astaxanthin quite a few shows ago. I think it was the back end of 2017. Have a listen to the show about astaxanthin. Astaxanthin is amazing. Trust me, it's fantastic. So vitamin C is good, but not as a preventative measure against colds. And omega-3 and omega-6. Now, there's talk about omega-3, which is predominantly from fish, also from chia seeds as well. And omega-6 tends to come from grain and grain-based sources. So Wendy from Dover has written in and said, I've been told that omega-6 fatty acids are bad for you, while omega-3 fatty acids are healthy. Is this true? So we need both omega-3 and omega-6 in our diet. But the key is the ratio between omega-3 to omega-6. So omega-6 can cause inflammation. Omega-3 can reduce inflammation. There's lots of reasons for having omega-3 and omega-6 in our diet, but we need to get the balance right. And the problem is these days is because we live in a highly, highly grain-driven society, we don't eat as much fish as we used to, or fresh fish in particular, the balance is wrong. So the ideal balance between omega-3 and omega-6 is about 1:1 or 1:2. And unfortunately, because we don't eat as much fish as we used to, and we tend to eat a lot more grain than we used to, in some cases, that ratio is as high as 1:40. So one element of omega-3 fatty acids to 40 of omega-6, which is really bad because, as I mentioned, omega-6 is a big driver of inflammation. And if you have problems with inflammation, then increasing dosages of omega-3, or certainly getting them balanced closer to 1:2, would be the way to go. So don't cut out omega-6 from your diet, but try and increase the omega-3 to get the balance right. I've got a couple of questions as well that I will leave to the next show. So if you're listening to the next show, which will be Monday, the 9th of April, next Monday, then I will go through some other questions that's been sent to me. If you have a question you'd like me to answer on air on next week's show, then please do tweet in in the meantime, and I'd be happy to give you a shout out and to answer your question. And as I mentioned, the show's Twitter feed is @HealthRadioShow. And on Facebook, we are still Facebook Live. Technology is working for us still at the moment, which is fantastic. If you go to Facebook and you type in Health Matters Radio Show, then you'll find the show's Facebook feed, the Facebook page, and you'll be able to watch the show live as well. Right, okay, so continuing the theme of 1986, we have another song for you. And there's a special meaning for this song because actually it was my first dance at my wedding. It's a fantastic song. It's by a great guy called Peter Cetera. And if you don't know about Peter Cetera, he was the lead singer of a great band called Chicago in the 70s and early 80s. And as I say, there's special meaning for this song for me, but it's a song by Peter Cetera and it's The Glory of Love.
Event, a full-day event helping business owners to understand how to network more effectively and efficiently. Three great speakers,
8 of the best networking, masterminding and business support groups in Kent, and 50 plus great business owners to meet, network with and connect with. Join us at the Networkers Networking event. It's an event not to be missed.
Welcome back to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva, and my glamorous assistant who's joining me this morning, who is off camera, but she's here. It's my youngest daughter, Melissa. Say hi, Mel.
Hi.
Melissa's a little bit nervous, a little bit shy, so she's kind of left me to do it, but she's been helping me out with my Facebook Live this morning. We are live on Facebook, on the show's Facebook page. So if you go to Facebook, search Health Matters Radio Show, you can follow me and watch me live if you want to, if you haven't got better things to do on your bank holiday Monday. And so far, the technology has been kind and it hasn't let me down. So hopefully for those of you that are watching, you're finding the Facebook Live interaction interesting. You can tweet in to the show. If you go to Twitter and you go to @HealthRadioShow, you can tweet me, you can ask for a shout out, you can make an announcement, or you can just say hello and I'll give you a mention on the show. And obviously you can tweet in between shows as well and I'll give you a mention on the next show if you miss this one. And as I mentioned, we are live on Facebook Live at the moment. Go to facebook.com/healthradioshow and you can follow the show page there as well. And as normal, if you'd like to contact me personally about any issues that you'd like to deal with, talk to me on a one-to-one basis with, then go to my website and contact me at www.i-nutrition.co.uk. I will mention as well that all the previous shows are available on iTunes podcast. So if you go to iTunes and search Health Matters Radio Show, then you can listen to all the previous shows on there, and I'll upload this one within the next few hours. And you can also go to my website, which is, as I mentioned, is www.i-nutrition.co.uk. Click on the media page and you can listen to all the previous shows there. So, going on to the subject of sugar. Now, for those of you that follow the show, you'll know that I'm on a bit of a campaign to help educate people worldwide about the problems that we have with sugar and how that relates to weight gain and how, in particular, it relates to type 2 diabetes and the epidemic that we're facing today. So for the next 5 minutes or 10 minutes or so, we're going to talk about the issues with hidden sugars. So hidden sugars, these are sugars or added sugars that are put into our foods before we even eat it. So this isn't a case of adding a teaspoon or two of sugar to your tea or your coffee or your bowl of cereal. This is actually sugar that's in our food already. And this is a massive, massive problem. It's estimated that around 80% of the foods in supermarkets have sugar added to them. Now, it's recommended that we shouldn't have more than 5% of the total energy from things like table sugar and honey and syrup. So that's around 30 grams of sugar, added sugar per day. The big problem comes where we're adding sugar to our food voluntarily and then we're eating sugar in the food that we're buying from supermarkets because we're not aware of the sugar that's in them because we're not reading the food labels. People aren't educated to read the food labels. And to be honest with you, in my opinion, the traffic light system is a bit misleading to say the least. So I'm going to go through some of the examples of sugars on food labels that you need to look out for. So start reading your food labels. There's 14 different types of sugars here, and they all come in different names. So you need to look out for these if you want to cut down your sugar consumption. So here's a rundown of the common names that sugar goes by, and it's not just sugar, as you would expect. So number one is corn sugar. Number two is dextrose. Number three is fructose, which is the sugar in fruit, which in fruit is not particularly bad for you. It's when it's extracted from the fruit and added to food, it becomes a huge problem for the body. Number four, glucose. Number five, and this is a biggie, I seriously would advise, if you look at your food labels, I would seriously advise that you avoid any food that has this stuff in it. Number five, high fructose, either high fructose corn syrup or high fructose glucose syrup or just glucose syrup. So high fructose corn syrup, high fructose glucose syrup or just glucose syrup. Seriously, avoid it. It's really bad news. Number six, honey. Number seven, maple syrup. Number eight, agave syrup. Number nine, invert sugar. Number 10, isoglucose. Number 11, levulose. Number 12, maltose. Number 13, molasses. And 14 is sucrose. So there are lots of different names that sugar goes under. So the problem lies where we have a lot of sugar in a lot of sugar that we add to our food intentionally, and then obviously the sugars that are in our food already. So here's some of the things to look out for. So obviously one of the big offenders is things like confectionery and preserves. So chocolate, jams, sweets, obviously they make up a huge proportion of the sugar in our diet, and far too much. And here's a tip. If you get a chocolate craving, rather than having a piece of chocolate, have a banana instead, because the sweet taste in the banana and the texture in the mouth is not dissimilar to chocolate. And actually, obviously, a banana is much healthier for you than having a piece of chocolate. And it can placate those cravings for sweetness, for the chocolate. And obviously, bananas have potassium in them as well. And potassium is very, very good for the body for reasons that I haven't got time to go into today. If you're going to have chocolate, try and go for 70% plus cocoa content, because actually plain chocolate is less addictive than milk chocolate, because there's less sugar in it. And also, whereas milk chocolate is quite Moorish, plain chocolate, it's very, very hard to overeat on plain chocolate. And it is actually marginally better for you than milk chocolate. Other things to consider are just normal sweets and obviously chocolate spreads. There's a very well-known chocolate spread out there in the market, which is just ram-packed full of sugar. And it's marketed to children, which is interesting. Okay, non-alcoholic drinks. So these are things like soft drinks, fruit drinks, sweet drinks. We get a lot of our sugar from these sources. So my advice is cut down, particularly for children, cut down on the fizzy drinks, cut down on the refined fruit juice, because most fruit juice is just, you know, it's just sugar coloured water. That's my opinion. You know, switch to maybe milk, perhaps, or you can switch to water. Hey, you can't go wrong with a glass of water, but try and cut down on fruit juices and fizzy drinks and even non-sugared diet drinks with sweeteners, I'd argue, are not particularly good for the body. Biscuits, buns and cakes. We are a nation of grazers. We do like our pastries. We do like our biscuits. We do like our pastries and buns and cereal-based foods. These are just full of sugar. And actually, in my opinion, for a breakfast, it's a really bad way to start the day. Having a pastry or muffins and things like that and bagels is really not a great way to start the day. You'd be better off with things like a protein-based breakfast, you know, eggs and a good quality sausage, or, you know, maybe some mushrooms, or maybe steel-cut porridge oats, which are the best type, or a natural yogurt, maybe with some chia seeds in it. How you start the day is really important. If you start it off with a high carb, high sugar diet, you're really going to be heading for a crash, and you'll probably overeat as you go through the day as well. And many, many cereals that are marketed to children are full of sugar. So again, start reading the food labels. Start looking at the traffic light system, which is of limited benefit, but it's better than nothing. And start educating yourself as to what you are putting in your mouth. Alcoholic drinks is another one. People don't realize the amount of calories and sugar in alcohol. Gram for gram, alcohol contains more calories than carbohydrates and protein. So 1 gram of alcohol is 7 calories, and one unit of alcohol is around 70 calories. So if you equate that to a bar of chocolate, a bottle of wine is about the same calories as a bar of chocolate, a big bar of chocolate. So worth bearing in mind, if you are, if you have a propensity to have a glass or two of alcohol, of wine maybe every evening, then I would suggest that you start to cut down. Maybe have a few alcohol-free days a week to give your liver a chance to recover, if nothing else. Maybe switch to lower alcoholic drinks. If you're a beer drinker, drink from a small bottle rather than a can. And then here's a great tip for those of you that go out partying a lot. For every alcoholic drink that you have a glass of water. It's really, really simple, but it's really effective. Glass of alcohol, glass of water, glass of alcohol, glass of water. It really does work. Dairy products, and this is an interesting one. People wouldn't think dairy products are full of sugar, but guess what? Fruit yogurts, as an example, are full of sugar. When they take, and this is, I'm going to go on to zero fat in a second, but when they take sugar, when they take fat out of foods, they will often replace it with something to give it flavour and substance, because the fat gives it flavour and substance. No fat equals no flavour, no substance. And guess what they tend to add in? They add in sugar. So by going for what is marketed to you as the healthy option, the zero fat option, you know, it must be good for us, hasn't got fat in it, it's a load of rubbish. Fat doesn't make you fat. Sugar makes you fat. Excess carbohydrates makes you fat. And when they take fat out of foods, they will often replace it with some form of sugar. So again, start reading the food labels. And finally, savoury foods. So crisps, yes, they have sugar added to them. And sauces and ketchups and salad cream and ready meals and chutneys all have sugar added to them at source, because it's cheap, it's tasty, and it's quite addictive, and it makes you want more of the product that they are trying to sell you. So things like tomato ketchup, brown sauce, they have copious amounts. In fact, brown sauce, certain brands of brown sauce, have 5 sources of sugar in them, which is really, really scary. So again, start reading your food labels, start looking at what you're eating, start cutting down on the sugar, not just in the sugar that you're adding to the food intentionally, that teaspoon of sugar that you put in your tea or coffee, or that tablespoon of sugar that you spread onto your cornflakes, but look at the food that's already had sugar added to it. It's quite scary. I really, really am a big advocate of reading food labels, getting out there, educating people, and helping them to understand what they're eating. Right, okay. Time for another song from 1986. It's a classic from Debbie Harry, and it's French Kissing in the USA.
Still jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Welcome back to the Health Matters Radio Show with me, Neil De Silva. It's Monday, the 2nd of April, 2018. It's coming up to 10 to 12, and it's the last 10 minutes of the show. Thank you for those of you that have tweeted in during the show and prior to the show as well. And I've given you all a quick shout out, and I hope that was all okay. For those of you that haven't tweeted in yet, then please do tweet in for a shout out. If you've got an event coming up, if you just want me to give you a shameless plug for your business or what you do, I'd be happy to do so. So please go to twitter.com and go to @healthradioshow/healthradioshow. Drop me a tweet between now and the next show and I'll happily give you a shout out. And for those of you that are still bearing with me on Facebook, Facebook Live, hi guys. And I've got lots of messages. My phone's over there, so I can't actually see the messages. But I will read them, and I will reply to you when we come off air in about 10 minutes or so. Thank you for watching. This is the first time I've done it. If I get good feedback, I might well do it again. So I was a bit out of my comfort zone doing it, but hopefully you found it interesting to see what goes on during that hour I spend at Channel Radio's studios in Ashford on a Monday morning. So we are going to, for the next few minutes, we're going to talk about reasons that we don't lose weight. Now, I'm a big fan of losing fat and not weight, because actually fat loss is much more healthier and sustainable than simply weight loss. And there's lots of diet plans out there that I disagree with that focus purely on losing weight and make a big thing about how much you weigh in stone or in kilos. And actually, in my opinion, it's a load of rubbish, because how much body fat and the ratio of fat to muscle is much, much more important. But if you're trying to lose weight and you're cutting your calories down and you're doing all the things that your class teacher tells you to do, and it still isn't coming off quickly, there might be some things that you're doing that you don't realize. So I'm going to quickly run through a number of areas that you might be able to relate to, that if you stop doing them or you start doing them, whichever way we look at it, then you might actually enjoy some quicker fat loss. Let's not focus on weight. So food that's labeled low fat, we've already covered low fat and zero fat foods in the previous piece. Now, if they take fat out of food, and we go down the route of low fat or zero fat, then they will tend to put sugar in its place. So obviously, you can then end up reducing your fat consumption, but massively increasing your sugar consumption. So guess what? Read your food label. Start understanding what you put in your mouth. Be accountable for what you eat and what you drink, because it will affect your health for better or for worse. Low calorie, low fat diet. So really low calorie diets can slow down your metabolism, and it can make it difficult for you to lose weight. It can make you feel rubbish. It can actually cause muscle mass to be broken down for fuel. If you go on a low calorie diet, your body goes into starvation mode. It starts to look at other sources of energy, and some of that can be muscle mass. So on the face of it, you might lose some weight, but it's not healthy. It's not good weight. So if the body's in a state of starvation, it will respond by raising the levels of stress hormones, and it will try to increase the storage of fat. So then you start to store more fat than you would do normally if you was on a normal calorie diet. It's a really vicious cycle. So if you want to lose weight successfully, avoid easily digestible carbohydrates like sweets and starches. And that also includes, I'm afraid to say it, grains as well. We really live in a grain-heavy society. Fill up on green vegetables, protein, healthy fats, and skip snacks, and drink water and green tea, perhaps. Good for you. Too much exercise. Actually, if you do too much exercise, it can lower blood sugar. If you do moderate exercise, it can help lower blood sugar. It can also improve insulin sensitivity. It can help burn body fat. But too much exercise can take it too far. And actually, research has shown that high-intensity exercise and prolonged periods of exercise raise stress-level hormones like cortisol. And then that triggers inflammation, which makes us crave carbohydrates. And then, obviously, it slows down body fat loss. Stress can have a big impact on the body. It can slow down weight loss. It can make us comfort eat. It can make us eat too much, even if we're on a diet. It can make us crave high-calorie foods like ice creams and junk foods and sweet foods as well. So if you suffer from chronic stress, I suggest you get some specialist advice in order to help you manage it. Because stress, if you're a stressy person, then that can be a big contributor towards slow weight stroke fat loss. It can also mess up your blood sugar levels, and it can mess up your insulin levels. It can deplete serotonin, which is obviously the feel-good hormone, and then that can lead to the vicious cycle of gaining weight as well. Too much TV. We tend to watch a lot of TV in this country, and we will sit in front of the TV eating. And it's a really easy way to eat too much. And people will tend to snack on things like crisps and chocolate and all the things that generally are quite unhealthy for us. And obviously, it's a double whammy that if we're sitting in front of the TV, we're not exercising. So maybe look at how much TV you watch, look at your habits while you're watching TV, and maybe find ways to cut down TV, your TV viewing hours. Maybe you do some exercise instead, or be careful what you eat while you're watching TV. Your medicine cabinet, there are some drugs that contribute to weight gain, particularly steroids. And these can be taken for things like arthritis, eczema, asthma, antipsychotic drugs, and insulin. If you take insulin, that can obviously contribute to slow weight loss as well. And some medication, like antidepressants, also have weight gain as a side effect. Now, that isn't to say that you should stop taking these drugs. You should only talk to your doctor about things like this. I'm not giving medical advice, but it might be a case of if you're doing all that you think you can to lose body weight, but it's slow, then you might want to look at your medicine cabinet and have a chat with your GP and talk about the strength of the dosages that you are taking. Hormone imbalance. So some women can suffer with PCOS, polycystic ovary syndrome. That can lead to an increase in body fat and body weight, and slow down weight loss as well. And people with PCOS are also susceptible to getting type 2 diabetes, so they need to be careful of that. Lack of sleep, late nights, that can be a trigger for slow weight loss. Lack of sleep triggers a stress reaction in the body that results in active storage of fat. And also sleeplessness can cause you to snack more during the night to kill time if you wake up during the night. And it can also cause changes in hormone levels, and that can increase appetite and hunger. And you may actually eat and not feel full, and that might be because of lack of sleep. Getting older, obviously, your metabolism slows down. So if you are in your 40s or 50s or 60s and trying to lose weight, good on you. I really am pleased for you. But bear in mind, as you get older, it becomes a little bit harder. So bear with it and stick with it. And good manners. We tend to live in a society where we are taught to eat all that's on our plate. And actually, we should eat when we are not, when we're full up. And being full up isn't a case of eating till you burst. It's actually being in tune with your taste buds. And when food starts to taste a bit bland, then that's your brain's trigger to your taste buds to say stop eating. Don't carry on eating until you feel fit to burst, because that way you eat far too much. Okay, and portion size, yes, cut down portion size. If you're looking at a restaurant eating out, then you can eat too much just by portion size. And obviously at home that applies too. So we need to wrap up. The hour's gone so fast. Thank you for your tweets. Thank you for those of you that have joined me on Facebook Live. A quick reminder that I offer a free discovery session. If you want to talk to me about weight loss or type 2 diabetes, find me via my website, www.i-nutrition.co.uk, and I do a free 20-minute telephone discovery session. You can listen to the show again, go to my media page on the website, or you can find the show on iTunes podcast. Just search The Health Matters Radio Show. I'd love guests to join me in April. So if you are in the health industry, doesn't need to be nutrition, but health and wellness and fitness related, find me via my website, i-nutrition.co.uk, and come and join me on the show and promote your business on my show. And that's it. I hope you found the information useful. Please tweet, please Facebook me, give me some feedback. And if you'd like to to discuss anything, any particular topics in the future for future shows, then let me know and I'll be happy to oblige. It's now coming up to midday. And so I bid you a great rest of your bank holiday Monday. I hope you have a great week. And so until next Monday, the 9th of April, I hope you have a great week. Stay healthy. And continuing our theme of 1986, we have a great song by Jermaine Stewart. He was actually a one-hit wonder to all intents and purposes. But what a great hit this was. It's We Don't Have To. Goodbye.